because they had some car troubles. So, while we're doing the, if we could get Cheryl to read the agenda for us real quick.
Okay. Okay, Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired public meeting Saturday, February 4th, 2023, NCBVI 4600 Valley Road, Room 4A, Lincoln, Nebraska. Agenda, 9 a.m., call to order, welcome and introductions, announcement concerning public comment periods, meeting agendas, Open Meeting Act, proof of publication, recordings and other logistics. 9:10 a.m. approval of the November 5, 2022 public meeting minutes. 9:15 a.m. report from the commissioners. 9:20 a.m. focus topic dashboard information. 9:50 a.m. public comment period. 10 a.m. break. 10:15 a.m. report from the executive director. 10:45 a.m. newsline update. 10:55 a.m. client assistance program CAP complaints or issues. New business, 11:10 a.m. discussion regarding scheduling and orientation training for new commissioner. 11:30 a.m. public comment. 11:45 a.m. final announcements. 11:50 a.m. adjourn.
Thank you, Cheryl. Kathy, could you speak to as far as where this was publicized and the the usual stuff that you do at the beginning of the meeting?
Your microphone isn't working.
Yeah, we lost the audio.
I think it's back again. I think I hear it.
Can you hear it?
There we go.
Yeah, there we go. Now we got some sound.
The notice of the meeting was published in the Lincoln Journal Star, on the state government calendar, the NCBVI website, NFB Newsline, radio talking book. The notice was also sent to ACBN, NFBN, and the NCBVI to serve.
Thank you very much, Kathy. So, the next thing on the agenda is the approval of the November 5th, 2022 public meeting minutes. It should have been dispersed. Hello? There we go. Okay. It should have been dispersed to all the commissioners after everything was done last time. I'm not sure, Miguel, if they got them, but they are on the website and everything. So do we want to have...
Day for batteries.
I was yesterday afternoon when I tested it.
We only stopped one more time on the way. Stupid car.
Well,
I'm sorry. Carol apologized profusely.
Oh, that happens.
It happens.
Well, those things happen. That's
well, when it says, what is it saying? Decreased
power or
could be.
Whatever it said. Reduced power, that's what it said.
Mm. Does she have an electric car?
No, it's not as far as I know, but for some reason the engine light went on and it said reduced power.
Mm. Wow.
It doesn't like the cold, she said. She said it's not even that cold.
Okay. So got brought to my attention that I skipped a step, which I was afraid it was. So First of all, we're just going to do attendance real quick. We'll start with the commissioners, then go with the state employees, and then anyone else who is here. So, first of all, just do a roll call of the commissioners. Miguel Roca?
Here.
Matt Bulger?
Mark Bulger here.
Mark Bulger, sorry.
Sorry.
Brett Heim, him here, of course. And then we have Cheryl Livingston.
I'm here.
And Linda?
Here.
Okay. And then if we could get the state employees.
Carlos Cervan, Executive Director.
Thank you.
Kathy Stevens, Administrative Specialist Lincoln.
That's all the staff.
Okay. And then the public.
Brad Lowe's National Federation of Blind of Nebraska, Lincoln.
Barbara Lowe's National Federation of the Blind of Nebraska, Lincoln.
And then the other thing that I missed was just a comment regarding our public comment period. So if you have a question, comment, concern, anything that you want to bring to our attention, there is a specific point in time, as you heard when Cheryl read the agenda, that we ask you to save those during that time. So then going back to where I was originally, the approval of the minutes from the previous meeting, do we have a motion to approve?
So moved. Motion to approve.
Second.
Okay. It's been properly moved and seconded to approve the minutes from the previous meeting. We'll just do as usual roll call vote. So, Miguel?
You approve or not approve?
Oh, approve.
Mark?
Approve.
I, of course, approve. Cheryl?
Approve.
And Linda?
Approve.
All right. It's been unanimously approved, the minutes from the previous meeting. Then the next thing on there is the reports from the commissioners. So this is, for the sake of our new commissioner that we have, as well as anyone else who may not have attended, this is just a period of time where we each report on things that we've been doing during the time between now and the last meeting. So that's basically whether it be anything you've done with any of the consumer groups, anything you've done with the commission, or even just being a good example of what blind people can do in public. So I'll just go ahead and start. My usual thing that I always say, which is a truth, is I am currently serving as a front office manager of a hotel here in Lincoln, serving as an example of blind people in the workforce, and just the fact that we're able to even manage a hotel. So it's pretty much what I do. I haven't been able to really attend anything beyond that, but I still do my part. So with that, we'll go ahead and we'll start over on this side here, just to give our new commissioner some time to think about what he might say. So, Linda?
Good morning. I'm Linda Mentink. I don't know if this thing's working. There it is.
Yeah.
Okay, good. I am a member of the National Federation of the Blind of Nebraska, and so I attended a board meeting on the 3rd of December. I'm also a member of the Friends Board, and let me switch this so I can read. I'm going to give a little bit of an update here on Friends. Friends has contracted with Annette Carter from California to build and maintain our websites. Since funds have... I can't do this very well. Since funds from Friends are no longer needed, the focus will change to raising funds for... Great. Sure, if it'll stay. Okay. Is this gonna work?
Oh, really?
Yeah. It doesn't wanna.
It doesn't wanna stay tight.
Okay.
I'll hold it with my chin. How's that?
Whatever works.
All right.
Got to use those problem-solving skills.
Yeah, which I don't have. Since funds from Friends are no longer needed, the focus will change to raising funds for homeless blind Nebraskans and those having needs which cannot be met by NCBVI. Carlos Servan and Aaron Brandberry will work with Jan Brandt and John Wick to develop the process. President Robert Newman will be stepping down from Friends in July, so we will need to elect a new president. That will take us down to 5 members. There is room for 10. So please let us know if you are interested or if you know of someone who would be interested. Just so Miguel knows, most of you here know about me, but I am a part-time music teacher at Bible Baptist Christian School. I teach vocal music for grades 3 on up through 12th grade. And so that's what I do for a living. That's my report.
Thank you.
Hello, everybody. I'm Cheryl Livingston. I am a member of the National Federation of the Blind and the Blind of Nebraska. I still currently serve as treasurer of the NFB of Nebraska and treasurer of the NFB of Nebraska Senior Division. I have been recently elected as secretary of the Lincoln chapter of the NFB of Nebraska, so I'm going to be keeping pretty busy here. Just a little bit about myself. I am a former employee of the Commission for the Blind. I worked for the Commission for 21 years, retired in March of 2020. I'm enjoying my retirement. I take care of 3 wonderful foster kitties that are all siblings, and they are great. They're fun, and they're a little bit of work, but they're a lot of fun, and I love cats. I'm a big cat person. As far as, other than, you know, doing my duties as secretary and treasurers, I just wanted to let people know that the NFB of Nebraska will be having our convention this coming March 23 through 26, at the Marriott Cornhusker in Lincoln, Nebraska. It's going to start off Thursday night, the 23rd, with a reception, and then Friday, Saturday, there'll be full days of all kinds of good things happening, and we're going to be partnering with the commission on some of those things. There'll be a banquet Saturday night, and then the convention will end on Sunday at noon. So I'm encouraging everyone to consider coming to the convention. The NFB does have a scholarship available from a generous donation from a lady named Gwendolyn Magnall. So we call it the Magnall Scholarship for people who want to come to convention, especially if it would be their first time. So if you'd like to come to convention, reach out to Jamie Ritchie. The president is here today. It would involve writing a letter explaining, you know, what you would like to learn from the convention, how much money you might need, and then I believe an officer would need to write a letter also to, you know, to recommend you for the scholarship. So if you're interested, you know, please don't hesitate to reach out and apply for that. And if you can, you know, come to the convention, we welcome everybody to come. So that's my report, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Mark?
Yes. Hello, everybody. I currently serve as the president of the American Council of Blind of Nebraska. We are having our state convention in April. We've had that. That's been our tradition probably for 20 years or more. And it's going to be in Omaha. It's going to be on the Saturday the 15th, and we're just still working on details, so that'll become more obvious, and we'll have our agenda out and plenty of time for people to kind of make a decision whether they want to come or not. I'm pleased to say that, you know, we're kind of putting ACBM in the post-pandemic mode, where we're trying to get back to normal way of life, and it's been a hard couple of years getting people together. So you know, it's a process. So now I also serve as the Omaha Association of the Blind president. It's a group that's been around 100 years, and again, we're back to meeting on a monthly basis. We meet third Tuesday of the month, and as we have done for many years, excluding the pandemic. On a more personal note, I live in Omaha, but I've always lived in Sarpy County, and that's prohibited me from being more involved on city committee appointments. And so next month that's going to change. So I'm going to be actual resident of Omaha City, and I'm going to get more engaged in, you know, the advocacy of transportation and accessibility, and probably work my way on to some committees if they'll have me. And because, you know, that's where the rubber hits the road, is when you get involved in local politics and, you know, show up at meetings and become part of the committees and things like that. So I'm looking forward to that new challenge in life. So there you go.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I've been, as you guys know, appointed to the commission. I'm glad to be here. Hopefully I can be a positive thing for the commission. I'm currently attending UNO for my Management Information Systems bachelor's degree. And I'm a member for the NFB at large chapter.
Okay. Thank you very much, everybody. The next thing we have on our agenda is the focus topic for dashboard information.
There are priorities.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's right.
Okay, everyone. I just want to start kind of by introducing myself and kind of what I do for the commission for those of you who may have not met me before. I'm Julie Buren. I've worked at the agency since November of 2015. I've worked in the same capacity. My role has changed a little bit with the state, like what my actual t- title is, but I've done the same thing the whole time that I've been at NCBDI. So my main focus is data. So I think that's why I'm presenting today, because everybody, some of the board commissioners were interested in data. And so I'm kind of on the back end of things. The counselors, you know, are out on the field doing the wonderful work they do. But I'm behind the scenes making sure we report that to the federal government in the correct way. You know, RSA through the 9/11 report is mostly what I do. That's a big part of my job. And so with WIOA, that did change a little bit. It went from just closed cases to now open cases on a quarterly basis. So that did change my job quite a bit. And we went, and it's now 407 data elements that I have to report on every person. So it's a CSV file. Miguel May from his information systems knows. So it's just a bunch of letters and numbers. Every quarter I am doing that. And so kind of through that is how really RSA kind of knows how our agency is doing in regards to, they actually kind of know anything. It's maybe a client's characteristics, you know, their race, nationality, all the way to what they're doing in school, to there's just a, you know, just 407 things that they do want to know. And so my job is really to just make sure that it's, you know, we're reporting the right things and the report's, you know, working properly. But also, kind of with WIOA, you know, in my report, I put that there's the performance measures that we are adhered to. And so now, because, you know, WIOA really started becoming implemented in 2017. And so now that we have baseline data, what RSA calls it, we're being held accountable for the performance measures. And so in the report, I listed those six. And so when RSA passed WIOA, it's really about the pathways that clients, you know, their careers, what do they want to do for a career? How do they get to those things through training services, career services? And so, you know, as a agency, our philosophy has always kind of been those career pathways. And so for some other state agencies, it might have been more about successful closures and getting someone a job. Where our agency has always been about, it seems like, that we want to do, you know, if, you know, someone wants to be a management information systems, if they want to work in technology, we're going to get them there. We're going to do the right skills, do the right training to, you know, be successful. And so really our philosophy kind of falls into line with what RSA is doing for their performance measures. Because when we talk about the first two, the employment rate in second quarter after exit and fourth quarter after exit, what they're really looking for is, okay, you know, did we do the skills training? We did the things to get them to, you know, to a place of employment, you know, and so we want to keep them in employment for a long time. And we want to keep them with the same employer because that, you know, is just, you know, it's good for the employer, it's good for the client. And so that's kind of what they're looking for. And so I do that through, I think I mentioned it in my report, I do that through the Department of Labor. I get employment insurance wages from them, and then I put that into our case management system, and so RSA knows what people are making in a quarter. And then also that if they're within the same, they're employed by the same person in the fourth quarter after exit. So again, you know, just as an agency, that was something we've always kind of geared ourselves towards, so that wasn't too much of a change. It's just now that we're reporting on that. Also, just a quick note on that it's also not even just successful employment. For some reason, you know, we've provided skills training, some career services, but, you know, for some reason, maybe they moved or something happened to where our case was not successful. We still get credit for those people as performance measures for ourselves because, you know, we did provide that skills training and they are employed. So it's kind of a little bit nice too in that it's not just successful closures, it's also what we've done for skills training too. And then the next one for the performance measures was median earnings. And so I, you know, from my mind, the background is this is not, you know, we want people to be making more than minimum wage. And so again, NCBVI has really always been about that. You know, if you want to be, you know, whatever you want to be, we're going to get you there, and we're going to get you a good paying job. And so, again, that was not too much of a change from our mindset. It's just now it's being utilized for our performance measures. Again, the next one, the credential attainment rate. That's, again, something that UNCBI has always done. We've always, you know, supported people, you know, doing bachelor's degrees, master's degrees, doctorate degrees, and even so much of, like, cosmetology or any other vocational training or certificate that counts towards the credential attainment rate. So what that is saying is that the people who are, you know, we've said that they're enrolled in a post-secondary or secondary high school, that we are, that they're obtaining those bachelor's degrees and master's degrees, and so that we're helping them get there through our services. And so that's kind of being counted as towards our performance measures. And then also, as they're doing those post-secondary and secondary, you know, are we supporting them through the skill gains that they're getting throughout that time period? You know, are they having a specific GPA? Are they doing so many credits? And so those are things that I keep track of as well at the agency. The counselors are getting grades from the students, and then I'm double checking to make sure that they have the right, that their GPA is where it needs to be, and that they have the right the number of credit hours. And so I put that into the system, and that gets reported out on the 9/11. So, and then the last one is effectiveness in serving employers. And so this is actually combined with all of all the partners in WIOA. And so we all get this number together, and to make sure that we are working with employers to make sure that we're getting good jobs for our clients. And so, you know, our number may be limited in the big scheme of things, but it's still important. And so we do provide those numbers to the Department of Labor. More for our agency, because we are so small. Sometimes, you know, at a larger state agency like General VR, they may have specific people that do those, just that, they do outreach. So it's also, you know, our counselors are the ones that are doing the mini hats, and so they're also providing this outreach too. So sometimes it's more targeted to the people that, you know, are in the, you know, in the place where they're ready for employment. We do job fairs and things, and so the counselors and the supervisors all track that on a spreadsheet for me, and then they provide that to me every year, and I provide it to the Department of Labor. So, you know, that's kind of overall just the gist of the performance measures that we're held accountable to. Something I did kind of mention in my report was that we do combined with the general VR for those. And so we work with RSA to say, okay, this is the what we think we can do for this next year. And so we're held accountable to that number. And so this is the first year where all five of those, we don't get held accountable for the effectiveness in serving employers, but the other five that I mentioned, we do get held accountable for those. So that's why it's super important for me to, you know, keep track of that, make sure we're on the right, you know, track for that. Some of it's out of our control, especially during COVID, when some people were losing their employment, unfortunately, just due to specific circumstances. But we are seeing an uptick, luckily, in the number of successful closures that we're getting. So that's kind of, it's great news for us. So that's kind of where the dashboard comes in, and that's kind of what the major goal of what this focus topic was, is that, and I was talking about those 407 data elements for each person, it's kind of hard for me to find anomalies and things that are happening in the data. So that's why this dashboard is super important for a person like me, because it's kind of putting it into a more usable format so I can say, okay, this doesn't look quite right, why is this way? So I can go dig deeper into the data and see what's going on. But it's also a way for us to make sure that we're, you know, on track with those five performance measures. And so it's kind of a hybrid approach to that. And I can also look, it goes back within a program year. So I can kind of look back and say, okay, I just reported first quarter this year. I can go back to last quarter of, you know, last year, first quarter, and make sure that, okay, we're kind of on track. We're about the same, so we're looking good. I can also compare us to other agencies as well. I don't foresee that as much being needed, but it's kind of nice to see, you know, where we're at in the mix, so to speak. I did kind of include some of those numbers in with my report, just kind of where we're at. And so overall, I'd say, you know, when I looked at those numbers, we were really in the mix of within the Midwest. And I know sometimes at NCSAB we've kind of been in the higher range of some of things, and so we've been always been good about those types of things. And it's also kind of nice because we were just monitored by RSA back in, I think it was 2020 is when it started. And so the things that they talked to us about and the things that were on their report are actually in this dashboard now. So we can, if any time, every quarter they're going to give us that dashboard, so we can kind of know, you know, okay, where, what the numbers are looking like, you know, where do we need to work on, those types of things, where before, when we were monitored, it was kind of all new because, you know, we weren't quite sure what they were looking for. So it's been really helpful to have, and so we've had just one quarter of this data so far, but I'm looking forward to getting more of it as we go along, just to make sure we're on track. And the nice thing is, even though it's each agency on its own, I can also look at like maybe general BR for the state of Nebraska, because since we are combined, I can make sure we're on the right track. And if for something's not right, you know, I know who to contact at state BR and kind of like, okay, what, you know, what do we need to do? What's going on, type of thing. So it's just really handy to have, as a data person, all this new data for me to just make sure we're on track. So I won't go over, I kind of went through each tab. There's a lot of data. So I didn't, in my focus report, I didn't go through everything, but I kind of hit some good highlights that we had that I thought were good. And so if you have any more questions about those, just let me know. And just overall, again, for the rates for all the other agencies, I felt we were pretty much in line. So, and also, I have seen that our employment rate has gone up. I've kind of seen that trend since after COVID's kind of, we've kind of gone back to normal. So I have seen that in the data. So that's super exciting. So that's about it. I hope that kind of covered what you want. As a data person, it was exciting for me to get this report. So it just makes it so much easier on me to be able to kind of look right away and see what's going on, and just being able to make sure we're doing. It's one of those things where I know we do good work, and so I know it's going to come up in the data, but we also want to make sure at the same time that we're on the right track, especially since we're, you know, being held accountable for it. So.
Okay.